This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We have some great songs and stories for you today from John Pizzarelli. He's played in cabarets and jazz clubs around the world and recently co-starred in the Broadway revue Dream, a salute to the songs of Johnny Mercer. Pizzarelli is a guitarist and singer who learned from the best, his father, the rhythm guitarist Bucky Pizzarelli. The New York Times praised John Pizzarelli for conjuring strong echoes of Nat King Cole in his singing and Les Paul in his playing. The Village Voice described Pizzarelli as fitting somewhere between the quarter-to-three saloon sensibility of Sinatra and the elegant cosmopolitan musicality of Tourmé. Speaking of Sinatra, John Pizzarelli has opened for him. Pizzarelli usually performs with his trio, modeled on the Nat Cole Trio, featuring guitar, piano, and bass. His new CD, Our Love Is Here to Stay, features a big band behind him. John Pizzarelli, welcome to Fresh Air.
Nice to be here.
Let's start with a song. You want to do something from the musical Dream?
Yes, I'll do the title song, Words and Music by Johnny Mercer. Get in touch with that sundown fellow as he tiptoes across the sand. He's got a million kinds of stardust. Pick your favorite brand and dream when you're feeling blue. Dream, that's the thing to do. Just watch the smoke rings rise through the air. You'll find your share of memories there. So dream when the day is through. Dream and they might come true. Things never are as bad as they seem. So dream, dream. We're singing and swinging out a little tune in honor of a gent named Johnny Mercer. He wrote so many of our popular songs, he's everybody's favorite verser. He was a native of Savannah and he swung with the draw. Son of the South, he listened for the swing era's call. Do-ba-da-ba-do-ya-da-ba-do-bam. Come rain or shine, he still can speak to a song. Things never are as bad as they seem. So dream, dream, dream. For all of the music and the words you sent our way, we want to say thank you, Johnny M.
Oh, that's lovely. That's John Pizzarelli performing in our studio. And by the way, he does Dream on his latest album, Our Love Is Here to Stay. Now, you play solo, you play with your trio, you play with a full orchestra behind you, every which way. You're doing solo, obviously, for us today. And you have a seven-string guitar mm-hmm. with you as opposed to the usual six-string guitar. What's with the seventh string?
Right. A common question. Actually, I actually had T-shirts in the mid-'80s that said it's a low A, because everybody always asks... What's the seventh string? And what it is you have the regular guitar, sometimes really in tune, and then the low A. So usually if you hear a guitar player playing chords, you'd hear... That's like a regular sixth string with the bass note here. And the rest of the chord, now you would hear with the low notes... And the idea was George Van Epps, who created this guitar in about the late 30s, early 40s, he wanted more of a pianist. He wanted to call the guitar a lap piano, so he could play those kind of walking bass lines. And you can also, now you have D-flat, lower notes to play with, and you can play in different keys that are not just guitar keys. The famous guitar keys like E, A... because that's where all the open strings are. Now with you can play in D-flat or in B, because you have the low B.
Is that the kind of guitar you learned on?
Yeah, actually, my dad, we had a lot of guitars. They were never in the case. They were on the couch. So there was a classical guitar and there was a seven-string guitar out. So my father first, basically, it was Watch What Happens. It's sort of the first song you would learn. And basically, all the chords you need to know to play the seven-string guitar on that song. It's only like four or five forms, and it's not anything different than a six-string guitar. It's a lot more complicated than it looks, but it's always good when somebody says they want to sit in on your guitar. Oh, sorry, seven strings.
Give us a little lesson in rhythm guitar.
All right. Well, I think it starts with... rhythm guitar can appear in different ways as a solo instrument, say on the blues. If you're just playing in the key of E flat, you would play like... And where this kind of soloing came from was the guitar, you know, expanding out of being a banjo, a rhythm instrument in the band, the banjo being able to be heard, and then the guitar comes out into the band as a rhythm instrument, and they have those big, beautiful 18-inch Epiphone Gibson guitars that were loud, and they played those kind of, you always hear those guys chunking away in the band, and I think it's perfected by Freddie Green, say, with the Basie band. It's the sound of the band is that rhythm guitar, or Barry Gelbreth or my father on pop records that were made in the 50s and 60s, my father being Bucky Pizzarelli. And a guy named Dick McDonough and Carl Kress made guitar duets in the, they were radio guitar, played with all the radio bands in the 40s, and they made a bunch of records, and this kind of soloing was... those kind of chord solos that really came from the banjo days, too. And that's how that all evolved. So,
go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I love your playing. And I think not that many people play rhythm guitar. Kind of rhythm guitar anymore.
Yeah, I think there's a number of us around. I think I'm fortunate enough that I think, to have grown up with, I think, probably one of the best rhythm guitar players
in the world. With you. And, your father, Bucky Pizzarelli.
When you hear that around the house, and then, when you make a mistake he always called it a stroke. He said, it's the way your right hand strikes the string. So even though you're playing the blues with the chords F and B flat, those chords, he would always want to hear just one note. Because that's the only note, that's the right note that's got to speak through the band. And you always hear that on my records because my dad's the guy playing it. And it was, you don't have to hit all the notes in the chord. You just had to hit that one. It's like more, it's almost like a musical rhythm instrument. Like it's like a drum almost. Like with my trio, since there's no drums, that it covers that. You can hear boom, 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 boom. And that's so, and you have that. It's like a hi-hat almost.
That's great. John Pizzarelli, why don't you do a song for us that really emphasizes rhythm in your singing and in the guitar? Maybe one of the Nat Cole songs.
Sure,
that you
I think Route 66 would be fun.
Great.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. I'll get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip when you make that California trip? Get your kicks on Route 66.
quite hip to this timely tip. When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Great. That's John Pizzarelli and Route 66. And John, I should mention to our listeners, you have a whole CD of songs that Nat Cole recorded. Mm-hmm. I'm, of course, blanking out on the
Dear
name
Mr.
of that
Cole.
CD. Dear Mr. Cole. That should be easier to remember. And John's latest CD is called Our Love Is Here to Stay. Boy, that really sounds great. Now, you mentioned that a lot of the rhythm guitar styles really originate on the banjo, which was your first instrument when you were, what, 6 years old?
Yeah.
You used to play banjo?
My father's uncles were banjo players, and my father's oldest uncle, Peter, taught him how to play guitar. He just played banjo. He played a little guitar, but he was probably the best instrumentalist that I'd ever heard. And his brother, Bobby, the younger brother, went out on the road and played more guitar than banjo in bands like Bob Chester and Clyde McCoy and Buddy Rogers. So Sundays at the house where everybody get together, you know, you'd play your latest lesson, basically, in, at the family party and all that. Mine was usually Yes, Sir, That's My Baby or Bye Bye Blackbird or Bye Bye Blues or something like that.
Did your father, Bucky Pizzarelli, the great guitarist, teach you at all? And did you want to learn from him or not? It's, I think, can be very hard to learn from a family member anything.
Well, yeah, we tried to have lessons. We had one guitar lesson, and he kept hitting me on my knuckles with his pencil. So
ooh.
That I kept saying, like, and he'd laugh, you know. I said, no more of that. And then basically when he heard the band or if he heard me practice or something, I had a guitar, a buddy of mine who played jazz guitar studied with Barry Galbraith, and we would play duets, and he'd come in once in a while and say, you know, instead of just going, cigarette holder, da, 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 da. And I was always playing the chords. And he'd say, why don't you go, da, 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 da. He'd show me these little variations. And then all of a sudden I was going, well, that's how that worked. Well, I could do that here on another song, you know, and start to see how it all worked out as an accompanist. And I learned how to be an accompanist first, and then started in 1980 working with my father. And we worked, it's either 80 or 81 at the Pierre Hotel for 8 weeks. And I always say I knew 4 songs on the first day and about 400 on the last day. Learning them was the hardest part.
When did singing into the picture for you?
Right about, I mean, I sang all the way through high school and all those bands and things. And then I started to, I backed up a singer in a restaurant in New York, New York State. And he sang all the Sinatra repertoire. Like, you know, I've got you under my skin. Or he'd sing Night and Day, You Are the One. And I'd play all the chords. And then every once in a while, I'd say, what do you want to sing? And I'd, well, I would sing, what would I sing? I would try to find songs that I could work with. And I think it was around the same time that I actually found Nat King Cole. And I started to find a repertoire that suited me, you know. And it was through Nat King Cole that I found those songs.
My guest is John Pizzarelli. His latest CD is called Our Love Is Here to Stay. He'll be back with us for more music and conversation after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our session with singer and guitarist John Pizzarelli. One of his teachers was his father, the rhythm guitarist Bucky Pizzarelli, and one of his great influences is Nat King Cole. It's funny because you have a drumless trio like Nat Cole did.
Mm-hmm.
What did you hear when you heard Nat Cole's trio recordings that made you realize that there was something that you really related to?
Well, my father had a drumless trio at the Pierre Hotel.
Oh, did he? Oh.
From about, I think, 76 to 81. And I had heard this, and that was like, wow, what a great little group. This is a great thing. And my father used to sort of shake his head and say, will you please find a Nat King Cole trio record? So, you know this is not me. He was a fan of the same thing for the musical reasons. I mean, when he first heard Paper Moon, he was in the Philippines in 1945 at the end of the war, and he heard, you know, on those metal speakers hooked up in the tree, heard this record, and he was going, what the hell was that? You know, that was the most amazing thing he had ever heard. And these three guys making this amazing music. So when I finally found the best of the Nat King Cole Trio Parts 1 and 2, which happened to be released in 1981 when he was saying these things to me, and I played Paper Moon, and I saw him saying, listen to this part. Listen, I was going, he knows this thing backwards. And he was like, you know, what do you think I was doing when I was your age? Same thing. Listen to these records. And I heard not only the great music, but the way this guy, Nat King Cole, sang. And I thought, now that's magical. And that's not some. It's not the arrogant sort of bravura that Frank Sinatra was and did so well for him, but it was Nat King Cole and was sort of a stylish, classy, and swinging presentation of all these different kinds of songs. It wasn't just Rodgers and Hart and Gershwin. It was all the rhythm songwriters, not that we don't really know a lot of. Like Little Girl is Henry and Hyde, you know, so you got, or, you know, there's a lot of different songwriters I can't even name.
Well, I'm going to ask you to do a song that Cole is associated with that I don't know who wrote it, so I guess that's a good example of what you're talking about. And it's called You're Looking at Me,
yeah.
And you do that on one of your CDs. It's a great song, and I love the way you do it.
Yeah, well, what's amazing about that is it's written by Bobby Troup, who also wrote Route 66.
Oh.
And Bobby Troup had told me, I became quasi-friends with Bobby Troup via the phone, and I met him a couple of times, and we had great conversations about how did he meet Nat King Cole, and he had just gotten out of the Army, went out to Los Angeles to see how he could do out there, and a buddy of his introduced him to Nat Cole and said, he's got some great songs for you, and the first one was a song called Baby Baby All the Time.
Which you also do.
Right, and he played that for Nat, yeah. and Nat loved that, and then he played some other things, and then he said, well, I like the baby song, what else you got for me? And he said, well, I got this thing about my trip across the West, it's called Get Your Kicks on Route 66. He says, finish that, and I'll take that one too. And then I guess when he made the After Midnight record, he found the song You're Looking at Me and recorded also. So
would you do it for us?
Yeah, I love it, it's great.
Who had the girls turning handsprings? Crazy to love him, claimed he. Who could so misunderstand things? You're looking at me. Who was so sure of his conquest? Sure as a human could be. Wound up losing the contest. You're looking at me. You're looking at me. Where is that boy who was certain his charms wouldn't fail? Where is that boy who believed every word of this ridiculous tale? Who was so childishly flattered, thought he'd swept her off her feet, who woke to find his dream shattered. Might I repeat for you, needn't strain your eyes to see what I want you to see. That's right, you're looking at me. Where is that boy who was certain his charm couldn't fail? Where is that boy who believed every word of this ridiculous tale? Who was so childishly flattered, thought he'd swept her off her feet? Who woke to find his dream shattered? Might I repeat? Might I repeat for you, needn't strain your eyes to see what I want you to see. That's right, that's right, you're looking at me.
That's wonderful. That's John Pizzarelli. And, you know, listening to you sing that and talk about Nat Cole, I think you're part of a tradition of jazz instrumentalists who also sang but weren't kind of trained singers, didn't have the big voice,
mm-hmm.
Like Nat Cole, Chet Baker.
I think they both ended up, in those two cases, singing out of necessity or something, or maybe somebody heard Chet Baker sing And said, why don't you sing Funny Valentine? Like, I know his first hit was My Funny Valentine with Jerry Mulligan's group. And maybe he just decided to sing. They said, why don't you sing the song? Like, somebody heard his voice. Nat King Cole, evidently, some, you know, the story said some guy at a bar said, well, sing Sweet Lorraine for me. Well, I don't really sing. Well, sing it anyway. And that kind of thing became, I think, they originally, the group did a lot of songs like, hit that jive, Jack, and they all sang together, you know, call the police, I love that one, hurry, hurry, won't you call the police, quick, quick. And they all sang together, and it wasn't until he sang like, This Will Make You Laugh, or For Sentimental Reasons, or Sweet Lorraine, that they said, wow, what a great, he had a great ballad voice, and it was that kind of, there's always that kind of, that there's that sensitive delivery of those kind of songs that I think people like. It's sort of the Montgomery Cliff School of Singing.
John Pizzarelli, his latest CD is Our Love Is Here to Stay. He'll be back in the second half of our show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with singer and guitarist John Pizzarelli. He's played in jazz clubs and cabarets around the world, performing songs associated with some of his favorite performers like Nat Cole, Sinatra, and Chet Baker. He recently co-starred in the Broadway review Dream, a salute to the songs of Johnny Mercer. He sings Dream on his latest CD, Our Love Is Here to Stay. Although John Pizzarelli plays jazz and comes from a jazz family, he was in rock bands in high school. So who were you when you were in rock bands? And what voice did you use?
Oh, in rock bands, I was Johnny Pick. That's my name. We had a band called Johnny Pick and His Scabs.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And that was my voice. Actually, and my voice was a blend of Paul McCartney or John Lennon. And then as the years rolled on, I became Peter Frampton for a while, and then Billy Joel in the early 80s. So it came all out of that. And there's funny things that exist in the big band records that probably come out of a lot of that.
Your big band records?
Yeah. You can hear some of those, that the attitudes of at least Billy Joel sort of comes out. There's certain things that you can hear him do. I can't pick out in particular, but I know where it's coming from. But then it became more Michael Franks and Kenny Rankin, and those two guys got me to Nat King Cole in a sense, because I learned all of those songs too, you know. That, I mean, there was sort of like a... Daddy plays the ashtray, baby starts to cry, lady wants to know the reason why. And it's when I met Michael Franks and he sang for me that I heard his full voice. It sounds like it's this soft voice, but it was his full out voice, you know. And I was saying, well, this all makes sense to me now. You know, it's not just night and day, you know, like that kind of thing, which is good too. I mean, I just couldn't do that.
One of the songs, you know, in talking about instrumentalists who also sing, one of the songs that you do on your new record is Kalamazoo, which Tex Beneke sang with the Glenn Miller Band. He has a voice I only recently came to realize how good it was. Would you just do like a few bars of that and tell me why you chose to do that song?
I always liked to. Well, there was a number of reasons. I think it was the spelling absent. Mm-hmm. And there was a fun thing to that song because it was like, let's see. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I've got a gal in Kalamazoo. Don't want to boast, but I know she's the toast of Kalamazoo, zoo, 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 zoo. Years have gone by, my, how she grew. I liked her looks when I carried her books in Kalamazoo, zoo, 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 zoo. I'm gonna send a wire, hop aboard a flyer, leaving today. Am I dreaming? I can hear screaming, Mr. Pizzarelli, everything's okay. That's the parts that I like, you know, when the band, you need a band screaming behind you. But it's a great, I always just thought that there's a humorous aspect of the song, and it sort of has a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's sort of, I'll come up with it in a minute.
Rhythm?
No, it's not the rhythm. It has something to do with the... it's sort
the
of
the fake hipster lingo.
No, it's not even that. It's sort of like that. It relates to people who. It's not. I want to use the term. I'll find the term because it's the one. It'll be right when I find it. And it's innocent. It's an innocent quality of the lyric that people say. You know, it's sort of cute. It's got that. And you know, like some people wouldn't admit to even liking it. But like, and that's what I like about the song. It's an innocent song. And it's about a guy and his girl in somewhere outside of Detroit, Michigan, you know. and it still relates. And the way Don Sobeski arranged on the record gave it that kind of, it had a great jazz quality to it. Yeah, it was me singing that song.
Do you ever find that there are songs that you just either didn't like or disregarded as a younger person that you rediscover later on and sound really good to you?
Yeah, I would think that. I think there's a lot of the Sinatra repertoire. Not that I didn't like it, but that I like to sing now. I made a record of "Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry," for example, and it was, I think, as even still today, going back and listening to certain records of songs. When you listen to Dick Haymes, there's a record he made of called "Rain or Shine" is the name of the record. It has all these great ballads on it, and going back and hearing not only the songs, but the arrangements of the songs, and now discovering, oh, that was Johnny Mandel writing a lot of those arrangements, and hearing the same qualities on that I hear on his arrangement for my Christmas record of What Do You Do on New Year's Eve. It's very interesting, and those are the things I keep discovering constantly, and even certain things about Sinatra records that are amazing, and the Nelson Riddle arrangements, and applying some of those kind of qualities to my single note playing, where you hear Nelson going... you know, there's those kind of, it all is part of the arrangement, and then becomes part of when I solo things too and scat and sing.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Sinatra. You actually got to open for Sinatra on, was it a couple of dates or was it a whole tour?
I did, in all, it was 17 concerts over a period of, we did 5 in Germany and then 12 in the States.
What year was this?
93 or 4, I can't remember.
So that's when he was still performing, he was probably using the teleprompter.
Yeah, it was right at the end,
lyrics.
Yeah. He did, I think there was only one or two more tours after that tour, so I was very fortunate to hear it. And some nights, the best story is the first night of the U.S. portion of the tour was in Atlanta, Georgia, in Chastain Park, and we got there a day early because the band hadn't been playing for a while since the German tour. So they did. They had to get out there a day early and rehearsed. And Sinatra came in, and it was hot, hot, hot. It had to be 100 degrees and 1,000% humidity. And he had on a black windbreaker that said, "Hurry up and wait," on the back. Sinatra did. And he came in, and he was like, "You could bake a loaf of bread in this place." And he stepped up to the microphone, and he made a couple of futile attempts at... I think it was "Imagination" or something like, or "How About You." It was a song I hadn't heard him sing a lot. And then his son, who was conducting the band, just turned around and said, "We're going to do The House I Live In," which is "What Is America to Me?" It's a big, long, involved thing. And it was 6 of us, my trio, my friend Joe, and a couple other people sitting in a 6,000-seat park. And he looked around at his son like, "What, are you kidding me?" And he grabbed the mic, and the band played this. It's a Don Costa arrangement. And he sang the whole thing without the teleprompters. Nothing was on. And he just sang that. He sang "Come Rain or Come Shine." And I think he sang "Luck Be a Lady Tonight" flawlessly. To 6 of us crying, just crying our eyes out, you know. It was amazing. And the last time we really heard him sing like that on the tour, he sang great, but it was flawless. It was just like, "Oh, you want me to sing? Well, I can sing." And it was that attitude that you saw. You know, it was just interesting to see that.
Did he listen to your sets, or was he, you know, backstage in hiding the whole time?
Yeah, actually, because of the nature of the gigs, we did 3 in Aurora, Illinois. We had to do specifically 90 minutes, or it was 80 minutes, and 80 on the dot so they could get everybody out and onto the boat, you know, to gamble. And the same thing in New Jersey. So he came on right after me. There was no intermission, and I'd be playing the last 2 numbers, and I would look to my left, and then the wings was Frank Sinatra snapping his fingers, you know, and clapping his hands and enjoying the thing. Actually, the joke was Hank Cattaneo. He said to Hank Cattaneo, "Well, what's this kid's name?" And he said, "It's Pizzarelli, John Pizzarelli." And he nodded his head, and he kept looking, and he hit Hank on the shoulder. He said, "He's one of us," because we're Italian, you know.
Did he do this whole "let me give you some advice" kid on how to sing?
No, he never did. The only time I met him, in Berlin on the second night, shook his hand, and he looked at me and said, "Eat something, you look bad."
Like I remember how skinny he looked.
Yeah, right. And we all
when
laughed.
He started his film career.
That was about it. But he was very. Every time I saw him watching the band, he was always clapping his hands and snapping his fingers, and it was terrific.
So, would you play a Sinatra song while you were opening for Sinatra? Would that have been really gauche?
You know what? We had All of Me in the book, and what else? I think that was the biggie.
Right, but he doesn't own that song in the way he like owns
right.
some other songs.
That was about as close
a lot of
as
people
I can.
Do All of Me. Yeah.
Right. So that was the only one I tried to stay. It was sort of scary, actually. We opened with an instrumental. Splendid Splinter from the second album, mm-hmm. and that's the album that was out at the time, naturally, and got on and got off. You know, it was a good lesson for me just to learn how to do that. You go with what brung you. You get out there, you do your set, and you get off. You know, you can't worry about, if he's going to hate you, he's going to hate you.
Do you find yourself gravitating to songs more for their lyrics, their melody, their chords, or do you look for songs where all of that comes together really
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I think it's the lyric first that draws me, especially to the ballads. Sometimes on the rhythm tunes, we like to find songs that have good chords that we can play over, like Avalon. You know, you got those, everything lasts, you know, with Avalon. C7 goes on forever, and you can play on.
Found my love in Avalon.
You got that going on forever, you know. So it's a fun song to play jazz on.
That's one of the tunes on your new CD. John Pizzarelli is my guest. We're going to take a short break, and then he'll play and sing for us some more, and we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back to our concert and interview with singer and guitarist John Pizzarelli. One of his influences is his father, rhythm guitarist Bucky Pizzarelli. John, what did you learn about the jazz life from watching your father's life, John Pizzarelli Sr., Bucky Pizzarelli?
Yeah. Well, I think what was great about my dad, and still is that he enjoyed, I think he just loves playing the guitar and mm-hmm. being around great musicians. And I think he had a respect for all the guys he played for, and therefore his circle of friends was an interesting one. Zoot Sims, a tenor saxophone player, who was a fun-loving, great saxophone player, but a fun-loving guy, a great drinker, and a great hangout guy. And my father, fairly straight-ahead guy, not much of a drinker, but loved to play. And Zoot, I think, loved playing with him because they liked to play so much together. And they got along afterwards because my father, they loved to cajole each other. And that's why I saw these different people around. And I'm sort of the same way in a sense that I like playing with musicians. Yeah, and I also love the fun part afterwards, just talking about stuff and having fun. And I think I saw a lot of that growing up and try to take that with me.
Did your father's musician friends hang around the house? Did you get to see them a lot?
I saw Zoot a lot at the house. He was really fun to be around. And Joe Venuti came over once, Les Paul a number of times. Joe Pass was over once, and Benny Goodman a number of times. And it was just fun to be around.
Did they show you things
Slam
musically?
Stewart was another one. Slam Stewart is a great bass player.
Well, you actually do something that Slam Stewart used to do, which is scatting over a single line
yeah,
guitar
like
notes.
That kind of stuff. I find it on the slower tunes, on the medium tempo tunes, it was an easier way for me to play solos. It slowed my fingers down. And by using things that I heard, like... I worked with Slam a couple of times with my dad, and you could see how he, when he bowed and played on the bass and sang along, there was something about it that he could, you know, he knew where he was headed, controlled. It made the solo sound better, you know.
So are you scatting in thirds with what you're
no,
playing?
No, in octaves, right?
In octaves,
Now, Slam, I think, sang an octave above the note he was playing. So if he was playing, he's like... He was always an octave above. Major Holly was the same note. That's always big for you trivia fans out there. They always ask.
Now, I know when you were growing up in New Jersey that Richard Nixon was a neighbor part of the time. Did you get to find out anything about his musical taste?
He never played piano for me. I know he was a big piano player, but I did... play for him once. He used to hang out in Hohokus, which was two towns over from Saddle River, and he had his shoes done by certain. There was a certain group of old stores that the shoemaker, barber, kind of, you know, town stores, and they he always went to the same place for his haircut, and they all got to like him. And it was Pat's 65th birthday, and he said, "I'd like to do something special for her." And they said, "Well, Bucky comes in here, gets his
shoes done all the time, so why don't you have his son and they could play for her, you know, come over and play. He said, well, I'm having a little get-together. We'll surprise her. So my dad and I, we were going to another gig, but we had time. We went over and we set up in the foyer, and Pat came out of a door, and there were these two guitar players, and then all of a sudden Nixon and his daughter came in the door with the kids, and then Bebe Rebozo and his wife were there. It was a wild little birthday party, and it was a big surprise, and he was just, he liked the music. Actually, the one thing I did learn, that Bebe Rebozo's favorite song was Penthouse Serenade. So there you go. These are the things, you don't get this information anywhere else.
It's funny. I'm going to ask you to play a song that I think you've really rescued from obscurity, and I'm really glad that you did. It's called Have Another One, Not Me, and it was written by Joe Mooney, a jazz accordion player who also sang, and I believe your great uncles who taught you banjo used to play with
him? Yeah, Bobby Dominick played with him, and he used to play in a club called Sandy's in Patterson all the time. I just asked my dad about this about a week ago. And my dad, when he was 12, would go down and sit at the bar and have a root beer and watch Bobby Dominick play with this group. And they worked everything out because Joe was blind. Joe showed them everything on the thing, and they'd have on the accordion, and they'd have rehearsals till all hours in the morning. And they did everything out of this club. And sometimes they'd come into New York and play at the Paramount or at certain hotels that had live broadcasts, there are some rare tapes of that group, but it was an amazing group, and Joe was another one of those kind of vocalists, like an instrumentalist vocalist that we're talking about, like Chet Baker and Nat King Cole.
So, well, this is a wonderful song. It's one of the ones included in your latest CD. Would you do it for us?
Sure, this is a great song. It's called Have Another One, Not Me. It's actually what I always use it as the saloon portion of the program. Sinatra always had a saloon portion where he'd say, this is a song about a guy who goes into a bar, he lost his chick, and he's gay, she took the grass, she took the booze, and all that. But this song is a little more the other way. I'm not one to sing the blues, I can take a lot, but when it impairs our health, and we haven't got a wealth of health to spare, don't you share my views. Life is just a game we play, but we both play too hard. So has it occurred to you, we might need a month or two relaxation? For the road that we've been traveling on is oh so rough. The pace that you've been setting's getting oh so tough. To say we could continue would be such a bluff. So have another one, not me. I used to hold your hand, kiss you goodnight before bed, and I used to think it grand, and so you said. Well, I can't hold your hand, dear, while I'm holding my head. So have another one, not me. I'd like an easy does it kind of existence, for my resistance is low. I better take it slow, suddenly I'll go. I just know. Well, each time I bring the subject up, I meet with a stare. It's like a heart-to-heart talk with your favorite chair. You know, you and Johnny Walker, you make a lovely looking pair. So have another one, like an easy does it kind of existence, for my resistance is low. I better take it slow, or suddenly I'll go. I just know. You said you needed someone just to hold on to you. The idea sounded swell, but it
put the end to you. You see, I like my arms around you, but not the bartender too. So have another one, have another one, have another one, and another one, have another one. Not me.
John Pizzarelli. His new CD is called Our Love Is Here to Stay. It includes the song he just played by Joe Mooney. This is Fresh Air. Back to our concert and interview with singer and guitarist John Pizzarelli. You've done several songs associated with other performers. I want you to sing a song that you've written yourself. And I'm going to make a request for a song that's called The Day I Found You. This is one of those parentheses songs. It's parentheses, yes. The polywog song. What is a polywog?
Well, the polywog comes from, it's a line used in the end of the song. And the song came from a dream that I had, and Rosemary Clooney was singing this song in the dream. There was just a couple of the lines at the beginning. It was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was like, was in there. And then when I was writing the last verse, I was using the Sammy Kahn rhyming dictionary. And so come along and be my polywog. When you kiss this frog, you know it all came to. It was the idea of the prince and the kind of kissing the prince and the frog or whatever like that, you know, that kind of thing. And polywog was in there. And I thought, well, you know, it would be neat to put the word polywog in a song. I thought that was cute. And then when I ran it by the band, the trio, which I usually do, I got this new song. They were like, well, polywog's cool. So
they probably thought it was an old hipster term.
Yeah, you know, and it's like a little guppy or something. You know?
Oh.
And
this is great. So this song started in a dream.
Yeah, it started in a dream, and
with Rosemary Clooney, who your father has played with,
and who I had told subsequently that I wrote the song, and she had sung it in the dream at least a little phrase of it, and she sort of said, "That's good, John." No, she was actually very nice about it. I sent her the thing, and. Everybody started to remember it as that polywog song. What's that polywog song that you do? So that's why I put, you know, because everybody kept saying, are you going to record the polywog song? So hence the polywog song. And it's, and then I even wrote a verse to the polywog song. So if you'd like to hear it,
absolutely.
It is now. Past love's always left me so dismayed, just a sad charade. I withdrew. Feelings were something oh so counterfeit. I was longing, exquisite and true blue. Then you walked in, much to my surprise, I couldn't keep my eyes off of you. All my blues were soon departed. My heart outsmarted was beaten anew. Every single dream became roses and clover. Every single scheme was I must win you over. Now every single day is filled with the feeling no more I'll be concealing. Your heart I'll be a-stealing. So let's swim and sun, sing and dance a lot. I'll be Lancelot, you be you. I have found a world I never knew. The day that I found you. Cannot change this fanatic. Can I be more emphatic? My heart is so ecstatic. So come along and be my polywog. When you kiss this frog, you know it all came to. I have found a world I never
just the vibrant voodoo that you do. I found true love the day that I found you.
That's a really nice song.
Thank you.
John Pizzarelli, I really want to thank you very much for treating us to some of your music.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's just been delightful.
It's fun to sit down and play the guitar.
would you play us out with a song? Would you play us out with My Blue Heaven?
Yeah.
Before you do, let me just say that John Pizzarelli has a whole bunch of records, and his latest is called Our Love Is Here to Stay. In fact, the song he just played, the Polywalk song, is on that new CD. And John Pizzarelli, thank you again. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.